The case is taken under advisement. Our next case for argument this morning will be United States against Matthews.
May it please the court.
Mr. Hawley.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Jonathan Hawley with the Federal Public Defender's Office in the Central District of Illinois, and I represent the appellant, Press Matthews, in this case. The question in this case is whether Mr. Matthews qualifies as an armed career criminal, subjecting him to a 15-year mandatory minimum sentence, and specifically whether one of his prior convictions, an unlawful possession of a weapon conviction in Illinois, is a violent felony as defined in the Armed Career Criminal Act. As the court is aware, the district court found that that offense was a violent felony, and on appeal, the government initially conceded error, but this court then asked us to brief a specific question. Specifically, what are the elements of the unlawful use of a weapon statute under which Mr. Matthews was convicted? And I believe that the parties are in agreement as to what those elements are, specifically that the defendant knowingly possessed a dangerous weapon, that he had a prior conviction for a felony, and importantly, has intent to use the weapon unlawfully against another. The question becomes whether the addition of that element, the intent element, makes this a violent felony under the statute.
You know, even if we accept your argument that it isn't clear from a reading of the elements themselves that the Illinois crime is a violent felony under 942E2BI,
right.
Could it nevertheless constitute a violent crime under 942E2B2? Which includes, you know, conduct that presents a serious potential risk of physical injury to another. In other words, isn't carrying a weapon with the intent to use it a crime which presents a serious potential risk of physical injury to another?
Your Honor, I would suggest if you look closely, is it a crime that presents that risk? Perhaps. But if you look at the specific language in the Armed Career Criminal Act under the section which we're discussing, it uses the word conduct that presents a serious potential risk of physical injury to another. Well, what is the conduct that we're looking at under this specific offense? The intent to use unlawfully against another is a mens rea requirement. It is a mental state. It doesn't have any action. The actus reus of that offense is the possession of the dangerous weapon. And that's what we look at under the plain language of the statute. It says conduct. If it had said circumstances, situations, or even crimes, then I would agree it would be a much more difficult question or a more difficult showing to establish that this does not fall under a violent felony definition under that subsection. But because it uses the word conduct, we look at the conduct of this offense. The conduct is the possession of the dangerous weapon, just like in a typical firearm possession case, the conduct is the possession of the firearm. So I would submit that, and in fact, if you look at the cases which the government cites in their briefs where under that prong offenses are found to be violent felonies, if you look at Spearberg, United States versus Spearberg, which is felony drunk driving, or fleeing from a police officer in Houts, or escape in Franklin, as a few examples, all of those cases are talking about the conduct. It's the conduct that presents the serious potential risk of injury. There's nothing about a mental state there.
Does it really make any sense to parse the language, you know, the English language so finely, so, I mean,
well,
I mean, quite literally, he's attempted to threaten the use of physical force, right?
No. What he pled guilty to was an intent to use it unlawfully against the person of another. There's no mention of physical force in that intent requirement, whether it be attempted, threatened, or used. The language of the unlawful possession of a weapon statute and the language used in the Armed Career Criminal Act are different. And so this is not a case where it has as an element those facts. It's easy when you see that intent to use unlawfully against another, it sounds very similar to what the language is in the Armed Career Criminal Act. But and it is a parsing of the language. There's no question about it, especially what we were discussing earlier about the difference between using the word conduct as opposed to circumstances or situations. But as this court pointed out even in Spearberg, a difference in language justifies a different result. In that case, when they were talking about the difference in the language, and I believe it was 8 U.S.C. Section 16 and the Act, the Armed Career Criminal Act. So although the case turns on very subtle differences in language, I would submit that those subtle differences in language make a significant difference in this case, especially in a case where the difference in language is the difference between a sentence in the range of 5 years and a sentence in the range of 15 years. And for those reasons, I would ask the court to reverse the district court and remand and find that the defendant is not an armed career criminal. Thank you, Your Honors.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Hawley. Mr. Bruce.
Your Honors, may I please the court. Colin Bruce on behalf of the United States. Your Honors, we'd ask that you confirm the judgment of the district court in this case because, number one of the elements of the offense in this case does involve the use, attempted use, or threatened use of physical force against another, and number two, it does present a substantial risk of harm. Briefly, in response to the comments my opposing counsel made, number one, although he's trying to parse actus reus versus mens reus, I think it's actus reus plus mens reus that actually define the conduct itself. It is the reason why the mens reus in the Illinois statute changes what would be non-criminal conduct, for example, possessing a hunting knife while camping or possessing a diving knife while going scuba diving, from the criminal conduct. It's the mens reus plus the actus reus that constitutes the conduct. Secondly, I'm not sure how my opposing counsel is interpreting using a weapon, whether it's a knife or a club or anything, a cruise missile. If you use a weapon against someone else, you're going to involve some type of physical violence. By its very nature, a weapon is something to be designed against someone else. That's why it's a weapon.
Mr. Bruce, what do you do with your opponent's hypothetical that it is possible to use the knife, but not in a violent way?
I think, Your Honor, if you go down that road where you start coming up with various hypotheticals, coming up with all sorts of scenarios where the conduct does not involve violence, that's exactly what you're not supposed to do. Under the categorical approach, you look at the type of offense. Categorically, is this the type of offense that presents a substantial risk of physical injury to another?
He uses the example of an attempt. Could you have an attempt that wasn't violent? I gather that's his point.
Is the attempt itself, is the conduct categorically going to present a substantial risk of physical injury? Again, walking down that path, you change from a categorical approach as in what type of crime was committed to a fact-based case. How was it committed? That's what you're not supposed to do under Shepard and Taylor.
Can we look at the charging documents in this particular case?
I think you have to, in this case, determine what type of weapon it is, because the Illinois courts have said if it's a firearm, for example, if it's one of the weapons that's not listed in A2, 720 ILCS, mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about. If it's not one of those types of weapons, then there is no mens rea. It's dangerous to have it, period. It's only when it is one of the knife, dirk, bludgeon, billy club, those things, you have to have the intent to use. So in this case, you can, under Shepard and Taylor, well, Shepard specifically, look to what type of weapon it is.
I just wondered, with respect to those second weapons, could you ever have an attempt that wasn't violent? Your opponent seems to think you can, and I'm having difficulty seeing his point.
I don't see his point either. I think with those types of weapons, if it's a knife, if it's a billy club, if it's a bludgeon, etc., I'm going to stick with knife. That's the best example I can come up with. If you're going to have the, as an element, the intent to use or attempt to use it to harm another, I can't come up with a nonviolent scenario.
Doesn't your state use the common law rule with respect to attempts that there has to be a substantial step taken toward the commission of the crime?
Yes.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Thank you. My question is related to Judge Ripple's, is whether we know how Illinois understands the word use. That is, does Illinois, I hate to say use the word use, but I guess I have to, does it use the word use the way the Supreme Court understood that word in Bailey? Because that would then affect how we understand the intent, because presumably... But if it uses the word use more loosely, as maybe courts of appeals used to before Bailey, perhaps one will reach a different conclusion.
I hadn't thought of that, Sean. I think that's a very good question.
So you at least don't know the answer.
I'm not going to stand here and tell you I know the answer. I don't know how Illinois how it uses use. I understand what your question is, and I don't know the answer. It is a good question, though. Unless the court has any further questions, I'll return the balance of my time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Hawley?
Just a few things, Your Honor. Regarding the Illinois statute and its use of the word use, the statute actually is unlawful use or possession of weapons by felons. And, in fact, in this case, the information charged him with unlawful possession of the weapon. So he doesn't have to actively, no matter how you define use, it can be simple possession of the weapon and not using it in any way, shape, or form.
But there has to be intent.
There has to be intent. But again, that's...
The intent to use rather than, say, intent to possess, intent to carry, intent to...
Absolutely.
And we need to know sort of what Illinois means by use, although the parties haven't focused on this.
Right. But again, I would say that it's intent to use it unlawfully against another person, and that is a mens rea requirement. It's not the conduct. Mr. Bruce said actus reus plus mens rea equals the offense conduct. That equals the crime. The conduct is the actus reus, and here we need to focus on the conduct, and that's the question of whether or not it's a violent felony, because that's where the statute directs us, at the conduct, and that the additional element of a mens rea simply does not make this particular offense rise to the level of a violent felony under either reading of the Armed Career Criminal Act. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.